wish she were here. She couldn't come this night to give the testimony herself. Upper Thursday, she met Prophet Benjamin. And when Prophet Benjamin canceled her, I know the sister, he blessed water for her and said, drink this water for 7 days. Now listen, because it's a very, very funny testimony, but the way it was read, you will not know the weight. He said, you will be purging within these 7 days. You will be purging. And when you finish purging, you will add weight. I thought when somebody is purging, you'll be losing weight. Brothers and sisters, when the sister came back yesterday, Thursday, I don't know how many people know Sister Toby. When we saw her, we were shocked. She purged within those 7 days. And within those 7 days, as she was purging, she was adding weight. That is the power of God. Exactly as the prophecy says. And Mommy Esesota that came to testify. Mommy, you are not in the men's program. Was it last month, Brother Sydney? The men's program. Our mommy that testified about our son. Maybe he didn't tell you. In the last men program he had, he told you. Prophet Sidney told him that in the month of July, he will get a job. And it came to pass exactly as we prophesied.
Yes.
Why am I saying this? The prophets are charged. This night, something will happen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. There are many testimonies. What God is doing through these prophets, only him is taking the glory. They are not selling soap. They are not selling water. They are not selling what else? T-shirt or handkerchief. You come, you see them free of charge, and you go back sure that there is a God in Bride Assembly. This night, that God will visit you. But I want to prophesy for a few minutes also. This night, we'll be bringing down the giants. I love that faith. I love that faith. Tonight, we shall be bringing down the giants. I love that faith. Satan is in trouble tonight. In Job chapter 14, verse 1, there is a powerful scripture in the book of Job chapter 14, verse 1. Job chapter 14 and verse 1. It says, man that is born of a woman, as long as it's a woman that gave birth to you, firstly, your days are few, even if you live to be 1,000 years. But not just are your days few, your days are full of trouble. Whether you're a believer, an unbeliever, whether you're single or married, whether you're an adult or a child, whether you're educated or not educated, whether you are rich or poor, life is full of troubles. Everyone faces troubles at one point or the other in life. Now, the topic of our exhortation is bringing down the giants. I expected that the IT would have showed it. But sometimes there is a grammar we speak. Some people will be in a situation, they will say, it is not a trouble, it's a challenge. Abi? When is a challenge? To me, when you say something is a challenge, it's like maybe you have malaria, 1+ or 2+, and they just prescribed anti-malaria for 3 days, and you have the money. And you know it will not move you. And you can say you have a challenge. When your trouble becomes bigger than you, it becomes a giant. Did you hear me? When your trouble is bigger than you, it is no longer a trouble. It is no longer a challenge. It becomes a giant. For instance, you are smart working, hard working, doing everything you can to succeed. People that are not even up to you are now exceeding and excelling more than you. And here you are. Despite all your input, nothing is coming in. That is a giant. Somebody shout hallelujah. When a sister is expiring in age, and nobody is even coming to say, hello, how do you do? Or when they come, they go for no reason. That is a giant. When there is Mazi genus in your family and is caging everybody from moving forward, that is what? A giant. When you have a terminal sickness, terminal or not, but a sickness that you are doing everything you can and you cannot manage or cure it, that is a giant. When everybody sells in the market and you, people will only come and ask you, you get this one? Yes, and they come. And that is the end. That is what? Are you understanding me? When you have been believing for something and you are doing everything possible to make it happen and it is not, that is a giant. When you are in debt, you know, there's a spirit that Satan casts on people now. Spirit of indebtedness. Especially through this use of these mobile money apps. If some people tell you how much they are owing from these mobile money apps, you will shout. I know of a sister that almost committed suicide. I don't know if you know that case, but that's Sydney, because of mobile money app. Her husband came in to the house that day and she was already at the bathroom about to hang herself. Her husband did not even know she was borrowing money. That is a giant. When you are tormented by a demon wife, a demon husband, like our mommy that testified, every time they will call her son, they will negotiate. A day before it will resume, they will call it off. That is a giant. When whatever is facing you becomes more than be careful. You know, there's a language that says, once it comes more than be careful, don't take it lightly. That is a giant. This night, we shall bring down every giant. I love the faith of the brothers. There's only a few sisters that are ginger. I said, tonight, we shall bring down every giant. When giants come, people run, people hide. People are frustrated, people are dismayed. You can't confront a giant. He's bigger than you. You know, once I saw the picture of the tallest man in the last century. I think he was about 9 feet or so. Very tall. An average 6-foot man was reaching him here. But I now remember that there was a giant that was bigger than that tallest man in the Bible by the name Goliath. Let's learn some things from the scriptures so that we shall have faith. Can you turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17 from verse 1? Or you look up. God has been in the business of using his children to pull down giants. And tonight he will use you. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. And were gathered together at Shoko, which belonged to Judah. And pitched between Shoko and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Now listen, pay attention. There went out a champion. Every giant is a champion. Are you telling me poverty is not a champion? If poverty is not a champion, why are Nigerians going to protest on August 1st? It's because poverty has dealt with us. If sickness were not a champion, hospitals would have closed. Let's read them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. What is the name of this champion? Goliath. What is the name of your own giant facing you? It might be sickness, it might be poverty. Whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And this giant, he came fortified. If he came alone, his height will scare you. Despite the imposingness of his height, he still came as a warrior. Some of us, one thing or the other has dealt with us. So they... that thing has left its signature on our lives. But tonight, God will take it away. Let's read on, let's read on, let's read on. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head. Hey. And was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear head weighed 600 shekels of iron. Chai. So the one bearing a shield went before him. Verse 8. Verse 8, please. Now, there is something about giants. Normally, not even giants. Whenever you have an enemy, are we together? And that enemy knows that he has the advantage over you. The enemy boasts. Is that right? The enemy boasts. Eh? Imagine me and Mike Tyson. How many of us know Mike Tyson? Okay, many sisters don't know Mike Tyson. Imagine me and Mike Tyson. Want to get it down. How will Mike Tyson be behaving when he sees me? Number one, he will first look at me. Where is the muzzle? Where is this thing? He will laugh. Mike Tyson does not need to go for training before he comes to fight me. And he knows that if he punches me once, I will die 7 times. That is how the enemy behaves. When the enemy looks at you in the spirit and sees that, come, I get power past this one will not be anything. The enemy boasts. That is why our daddy has told us, when somebody say, you are trying me, I will deal with you, you go see. He said, don't take it for granted, except you know where you belong. The person might have looked at you in the spirit and saw that there's nothing to protect you. One small prophetic action, witchcraft action. One small thing. They can say, as I break this egg, Emeka, your business is broken. Bah. And Emeka will begin to suffer. Let's read on. I'm only demonstrating something. For you to see why the enemy boasts. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel. And said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and to kill me, see, boast, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now, this is my emphasis for now. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, what did they do? They were dismayed. Somebody, sometimes when you think about what is befalling you, you get dismayed. When you think about what you are going through, you get dismayed. Some of us have high BP. Not because of anything, but because of mental stress. Some of us are falling sick, not because of anything, but because of just the mere thoughts of what we are going through. Let's read it again, verse 11. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Praise the Lord. So, if the Bible says that the men of Israel were afraid, I will not be offended. If the Bible says that the men of Israel were afraid, it doesn't matter. But the Bible said Saul was afraid. Do you know who Saul was? Do you know that Saul was the tallest man in Israel? So if you are talking of heights, Saul too na agali. The Bible said from shoulder and upward, he was taller than every man in Israel. But when Saul saw something bigger than him, Saul shrinked. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. I want you to receive faith because you will see something this night. What is that teaching us? As a normal human being, when a giant confronts you, there will be fear. There will be dismay. There are problems that confront us that will affect you. You won't have peace as a normal human being. Are we together? Of course now, imagine everybody in your family is dying. You have lost all your siblings. Will he not disturb you? That's a giant. So every average human being that sees a giant with fear, that was the condition of Saul. But something happened. Let's read on. Let's go to verse 20 of the same chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20. There was Saul, and there was another young man called David. David rose up early in the morning. He was not even in the battlefield. And left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse, his father, commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight. They were shouting, going forth to the battle. Ah! For Israel and the Philistines have put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, the men of Israel were already going for the battle. Behold, the champion came out again. Ha! Everything that has been a champion over your life, if you can shout amen, this morning the Lord will pull them down. Let's read on. Have faith. The champion came out, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David had them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, every man ran for his life, and we are so afraid. That thing you have been running from, as you leave this service this morning, it will begin to run from you. Praise the living God. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this giant that has come up to defile Israel, to put us to shame? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man that killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Can we chorus the next amen together? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Let's read up to verse 30. The people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And when David's elder brother heard him, and so on. Go to verse 30. Next verse. And he turned from him unto another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the same manner. Brethren, the statement of David that who is this uncircumcised Philistine is a powerful statement. Before you can bring down the giants, you must be under the covenant. If it is by your physical strength, you can't bring down any giant. My daddy in the Lord always says something. He says, if you say Satan no get power, now because you never jam him, pray that Satan does not remember you. When he remembers you, the scripture that says that by strength shall no man prevail, it will make sense to you. Before you can bring down a giant, you yourself must be connected to a stronger giant. Somebody did not hear me. The Lord says, how can you bind a strong man? How can you go into a man's house and bind him and spoil his goods? Except you are what? Stronger than him. Why would David say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He knows that he was under a covenant of circumcision that connected him to a higher giant. God is the higher giant, because he says the heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool. So which giant is bigger than our God? Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. Why am I saying this? Many of us have come for our problems to be solved. Many of us have come because you heard that it did happen for bride assembly. Yes, it did happen. But we also have a message that until you give your life to Christ, you cannot be in true deliverance. You can come here, we can chase away the devil. But when you get back to your house, because your life is not surrendered to Christ, that devil will come back. In this ministry, we are not magicians. We are not soothsayers. We are truth sayers. And it is the truth that will make you free. So until you have aligned your life properly with Christ, until you have repented and truly given in your life, forget about bringing down any giant. You will bring down that giant when he leaves you. He says he will go and he will come back and see. When he sees that the house is empty, what will he do? He says he will go and look for seven other giants that are stronger than him, the elder brothers of Goliath, and they will come and deal with you. Only one Goliath, Saul was afraid. Imagine that there were eight. What would have happened? Saul would have died. Someone say, go faint. Thank you. David was under a covenant. So he knew that if God be for us, who can be against us? That was the mindset of David. But many of us, God is against us, so he cannot be for us. Deliverance is easy. See, there's nothing, forget it. Deliverance is easy. Healing is easy. Any testimony. There are many people that receive testimonies in this church that don't testify. Most especially church members. They are too shy to come and hold mic. If you know what God is doing, if you know how many people God healed and delivered yesterday, if you should allow for testimonies in this church, all our service from 10 to 5 will still be testifying. Deliverance is easy. So definitely our God will visit you. But until your life is properly aligned to him, if the giant lives because of us, it will wait for you in your house. Did you hear me? If you say, lose, and the giant leaves you alone, yeah, it will wait for you in your marketplace. So bringing down the giant begins with aligning your life properly with God. Are we together? You will bring down the giant. It is easy. And tonight you shall bring down all those giants in Jesus' name. So you must repent and come under the blood. And if you have not been baptized, ensure you are baptized in the name of Jesus. But let's go on. It was not only the covenant that made David to bring down the giant. Now listen, because many of us here, you are church members, you are already under the covenant. Let's go to verse 31, where we are reading. And when the words which David spake, and when the words which were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And Saul sent for him. David was a little youth. He was not even qualified to be in the army. Through you, God will do wonders. Oh, please just follow me. He was not qualified to be in the army. That was why he was not there. The father only sent him a message. Go and give your elder brothers this bread. But he was at the right place at the right time. Let's read on. And David said to Saul, Saul sent for David. The tall man, the mighty man, is now sending for the little man. And see what David is saying. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. Did you notice that David did not call him this giant? What did he call him? Oh, the brothers are on fire. David did not call him giant. What did David call him? How do you see your problem? Is your problem bigger than God? Or is your problem a little thing? But some of us, we glorify our problem more than God. This thing self. Oh, this thing I'm passing through. Oh, this thing self. This thing self. Every time, that is the song you sing. In other words, you are saying that the problem is bigger than God. But let's read on. Can we be fast with the scripture? Let's read on. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. See you. You're a youth now. And this one, from the days of his youth, he has been a man of war. See this small boy. And David said unto Saul, you are looking at me as a small boy, but I have proved my God. One day I was keeping the sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. So what is David saying? God has answered my prayer before. The God I call upon has answered my prayer before. So this challenge before me, the same God that answered my prayer before, he will take it away. That is the meaning of that statement. If God has ever come through for you before, then he is available to come through for you always. Let's read on. There's something I want to bring out. I want to give somebody faith to pray this night. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Saul began to bless David, go, and the Lord will be with you. You, why you not go? And Saul armed David. Now, see something. For you to understand why the Bible says that the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. Saul armed David with his armor. Since the Philistine is coming with armor, you to put on an helmet of brass. And he armed him with a coat of mail. And gifted, Saul even gave him his own sword. Imagine how tall sword is. Saul is. So the sword of Saul too will be very long. And David put it on. David has said to go forth, for he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with this, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. If you are still thinking that it is your rich uncle that will make a way for you, forget about it. If you are still thinking that it is because you are educated, you are connected, you are from a rich family, that is why you will break through, you are not ready to pull down the giants. God is looking for those that trust in him alone. If you trust in God, there's addition to it. I trust in God and my rich uncle. You are not ready for God. If you're trusting God, I trust in God and my brother in UK. You are not ready for God. The Bible says that some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we do what? Remember the name of the Lord. He taketh pleasure in them that trust him. Let's read on. So David did not go with the armor of Saul. But what did he go with? He took a staff. That's walking stick now. Staff in his hand. And chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And put them in a shepherd's bag which he had. Even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. So imagine. And he drew near to the Philistine. Let's imagine it a little. You know, some stories are in the Bible. They are almost unbelievable. Let's read on. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, he was wondering, who is coming? He was wondering who is coming. And he saw David. What happened? He disdained him. Yoruba man will say, oh, sure. If it's a woman, say, pekele, pekele. Arugbo jegbese. He will look at you. Let's read on. Disdained him. Because he was a small boy. And ruddy. And of he was even fine. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you came to me with staffs? Your enemy will see themselves as dogs before you in the name of Jesus. Because when a dog sees you and you do like this, what will happen? You want to pick a stone. The dog will run away now. Let's read on. And the Philistine calls David by his gods. And the Philistine says, come to me. I can't even come to you. You come to me. I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Hey, gang. Showdown. Hang it here and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. What does it say? 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we are human, we are physical, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not what? They are not what? But they are what? To the pulling down of strongholds. Part of the weapon of the warfare is when you shout in the name of Jesus Christ, it is a weapon. The enemy will bow. Let's read. Go back to our story. Let somebody's faith be lifted tonight, because you are the little David that will bring down that giant. But you will not do it with any human ability. You will do it with the weapons of our warfare. Now, see where David's weapon is. He said, you are coming to me, Oga. You are coming to me with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee. Hey, I come to thee what? In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Ah, somebody, you will pray this night. And before you get home, your enemy will run away. Let's read on. He said, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. And me, I will kill you. And I will take your head from you. And I will give your head to the host of these Philistines. I will give both your head and the host of the Philistines. I will give your carcasses to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Why? That all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven, the most powerful. Brethren, our God desires in people that are physically weak. Have you ever considered 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 27? So that somebody will know that if God be for you, no giant can stand against you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 27. What does it say? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 27. Who is that giant in the IT? Verse chapter 1, verse 27. Okay, I'm the one mistaken. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Listen attentively. It says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things. They belong to their cults. They have their shrines that they go to. You don't belong anywhere. You belong to Jesus. So you are weak. To confound the things which are mighty. And the base things and the things that are despised, as God chosen, yea, things that are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. The Philistine came to David with his own power. But David went against the Philistine in the name of the Lord of hosts. Let's continue the story. I want the Lord to minister to your heart. Let there be faith. Let's continue. 1 Samuel 17, where we are. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not bless with rich uncle and rich auntie. The Lord does not bless because you are connected to the presidency. The Lord does not bless because you know someone at the top. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass. You know, David provoked him with his words. And he arose and came and drew near to meet David. What happened? He was running to David. Did David run away? David too stood up, hastened, and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. We will confront our enemies this night. We will confront our giants this night. And he put his hand in his bag. Hey, where is your bag? Where is your bag? It is not the bag you brought. It is not the bag you brought. Don't forget, inside that bag were 5 stones. Ah, I remember. J-E-S-U-S. How many letters? Eh? J-E-S-U-S is how many letters? It's five, Abi. Let's go on. Let's go on. This is our bag, the word of God. And he brought out just one stone. Ah! In the name of... He never even called Jesus. Now, Jericho. And smote the Philistine in his forehead. Many people read this story, but they don't take notes of the miracle that happened in this verse. The stone sunk into his forehead. Number one, he had a helmet of brass. Eh? Once as a boy, a fellow boy has stoned me. He told me, the stone, it tore my head and blood came out. It did not kill me. I mean, small stone on catapults. I don't know, they might say it's medically possible. For a warrior like Goliath that had a helmet, it was not natural. And the Bible says what? It sank into his forehead. That means the stone went inside his head and scattered it. And what happened? He fell upon his face to the earth. When we stand praying in the name of Jesus, things happen. So David prevailed over the giants. We are reading. With a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. See how God works. He even ran. He stood upon the Philistine, brought out his enemy's sword, and used the sword of his enemy to cut off his enemy's head. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, what did they do? Every enemy confronting you tonight, they will flee from you in the name of Jesus. I have to stress this story for several reasons. Why? I said David could win because he was connected to the living God. David could win that giant because he had faith. How do we know he had faith? The Philistine was looking at him as a dog. He was looking at the Philistine as a rat. Between a dog and a rat, which one is stronger? Eh? You are not responding to me. In a small rat and a dog, which one is higher? While the Philistine was looking at David, see you a dog. He was looking at the Philistine as a rat. David had faith that the God he served was the most powerful. Brothers and sisters, many of us, it is not our problem that has finished us. It is our lack of faith. Some of us have been buried before we died because you don't have faith. Do you know the God you call upon? Do you believe that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow? Do you believe that Jesus answers prayers? Do you believe that there is power in the blood of Jesus? In our communion on Sunday evening, how many of us connected to the communion? We were using the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I was excited when on Thursday, a sister that could not come was sharing her testimony that she was bound with sickness. She didn't know what was wrong with her. She could not even stand up. But she said she just connected by faith, was lying down in her room. While she was saying that blood of Jesus Christ speak for me, she said she did not know when she found herself strong. Everything disturbing her left. Now, no pastor prayed for her. She was saying, say it, blood of Jesus Christ speak for me. Many of us don't know that that statement has power. By God's grace, I do small deliverance. I've said it. I said I don't do deliverance by pushing somebody. I've prayed with you before, ma. Did I push your head like this? But if you can remember, either I've asked you to say, blood of Jesus Christ, speak for me. And just by saying it, you have got healed several times. But many of us don't believe the God we serve. That is why you run to and fro. The one that is reigning now is one prophet in Warri selling soap, and he says that it is NAFDAC approved for your deliverance. The same prophet, he has a pond. He said, come and catch your fish. Come and catch your fish, miracle fish. I saw the video. The same prophet sells
water.
Sells oil. Sells what? Key. Angel, what key? Key of David. And many people will buy it. You see that their faith is not in God. Their faith is in those spiritual wares, spiritual items that they are selling. But when you come here, we take you back to Christ. Your faith should be in Christ and in his finished work at the cross. At the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." It is on the basis of what Christ has done for us that we claim our freedom, prosperity, deliverance, restoration. Your faith should be in God. When Saul was telling David, "Wear this armor," Saul was telling him, "Take this anointed soap. Go and bath with it. Buy it." But David said, "I have not proved this once, but I have proved that there is power in the name of Jesus." So many of us, our lack of faith has hindered us. But there is something, briefly, we'll pray now. If you can turn quickly to 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15. Moreover, please listen very well. This time, David has become a king. The Philistines had yet war again with David. Ha! And David went down, and his servants went with him and fought against the Philistines. What happened? And David waxed. No, go back to the previous verse. I've not finished reading it. And David waxed. David was faint. The same David that killed a giant before. Verse 16. See what happened in verse 16. And Ishbi Benobob, Ishbi Benob, which was of the sons of the giants, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He, being gifted with a new sword, what will he do? Thought to have slain David. But what happened? Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, helped David, and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, "You will not go out with us to battle again, that you don't quench the light of Israel." Do you know the meaning of this? You can remove the scripture. David had brought down a giant before. There was another battle. And a giant that was not even as tall as Goliath, the same giant almost killed David. Why? Because he fainted. Jesus says, men always ought to pray and not to faint. Are you with me? I hope everybody is getting their own portion. You might say, "Me, I have faith in God." But have you stopped praying? You don't rely on God of yesterday. You must pray. What happened yesterday is to give you faith that God can still do it today. The Bible said that David waxed faint and he was almost killed. The same David that killed Goliath. But because he was faint, because this time around he was weak in prayers, the giant almost killed him. Luke 18 verse 1. And that's the condition of some of us. Luke 18 from verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men, women, ought always to pray and not to faint. If you are weak in prayers, the giants will destroy you. Our God is not a magician. That's why I tell you, when you come here, we will restore your faith. We are not magicians in Bride Assembly. We are not magicians. We present Christ to the people. There are some blessings that you will not get sharp until you are prayerful. There are some times you will come and Jehovah will answer you sharp. But there are times that you will wait. There are times that you need to wait in the place of prayer. Yes. For several reasons. Number one, God might not answer you sharp, maybe because he has a special time. But you must continue praying till God tells you it is settled. In the month of September, I will visit you. When God speaks like that, then you know that, yes, I can go and rest. He says September. Fine. Number two, do you know that when we pray and angels are bringing our blessings, principalities and powers can stop those angels? We have seen it in the Bible. In Daniel chapter 10, we'll not read it because of time. The Bible says that Daniel began a 21-day prayer. The first day he started, an angel was bringing the blessings of Daniel. But Daniel did not see the answer. He continued in that prayer. It was at the 21st day. The angel appeared to him and said, Daniel, the day you started praying, your answer was released. But as I was coming, the prince of Onitsha stood before me. The prince of Ijebu stood before me. The prince of Olu stood before me. And I remained there. But because you continued praying, God sent Aya Angel Michael. Then Angel Michael said, you go, let me deal with this demon. Take the answer to your prayer. If Daniel had stopped praying, the angel would have... Thank you, sir. What's the statement you made?
Reinforcement.
Reinforcement will not come.
Amen.
So when we tell people, continue praying until you see the answer, it is scriptural. Our God answers prayers. But sometimes, it may delay because of certain reasons. So if you give up in the place of prayer, you will never get that blessing. That was what happened to David. He waxed faint. He became weak in prayer. Then a giant that was lesser than Goliath almost took his life. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Are you still in the place of prayer? Have you given up hope concerning that issue? If you don't give up, God will not give up. So continue praying. Are we together? So faith, being connected to God, prayerfulness will help us to bring down our giants. One more thing I must say. Another reason why we must continue praying. I say number one, God's timing. Number two, a principality or power. That's why we pray against delay. Another reason is that sometimes, brethren, listen, we are not magicians in this church. We tell you the truth. Sometimes, in fact, many times, deliverance is a process. God was taking his children to the promised land. He, God, told them, I will not drive out the Canaanite before you at once. I will drive them out little by little. While you are praying for one thing, and you don't know that that thing you are praying for is connected to many other things, and God is busy dealing with the other things, you are not seeing it because it's not your prayer point. But that particular one, Father, you told me I will live abroad. Why is my visa not coming? And you are praying. And you don't know that maybe you are praying. You heard, Mazi Uche, don't die. You don't know Mazi Uche. You have never seen him in the spirit. You went for burial. You came back. Nothing concerns you, Mazi Uche. See, there are many things that go on against us that God does not reveal to us. The few he reveals to us is just to let us know. If God reveals all the battles that confront us spiritually, some of us will faint. When the Bible says that the whole world lieth in wickedness, so it will be revealing little to you. Some of us are suffering from covenants that are 1,000 years older than us. But you are praying for your breakthrough. God is dealing, maybe from your 10th great-grandfather, they all serve idols. And from your 10th great-grandfather, they covenanted all their children. So you have covenant of 10 generations to break. So you are praying for your breakthrough. It will start with the first one. You are still praying. He has entered the second one. You are still praying. So many a times, deliverance is a process. But many of us, we don't let our food get cooked before we remove it from the fire. Don't stop praying until you see your testimony. Ah, somebody is not getting it. Anybody that tells you, just come. God can, there are many things he can give you, sharp, sharp, sharp. But when it comes to breakthrough that lasts, stay there. The fact that it has not happened does not mean it will not happen. The fact that you are still barren after 15 years does not mean you will not have your children. Continue praying. When God will answer you, it will be like the time of Sarah. Sarah said, God has made me to laugh. He said, everybody that hear it will laugh with me. There are testimonies that you cannot share. People will just see it and it's speaking for itself. And they'll start laughing. People will start testifying on your behalf. But you waited in the place of prayer. That's why I thank God for a ministry like this. We are here praying all the time. So if you are believing God for a breakthrough, if you want to bring down that giant of setback, of delay, of poverty, of any enemy, don't wax faint. Continue praying. One day, it will happen and it will be called a miracle. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. Are we together? Now, finally, 2 Samuel 21, let's go from verse 18. Finally, 2 Samuel 21. There's something I want to bring up from here. And it came to pass after this that there was a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Shibekai the Hushathite slew Saf. This is another giant. He said, which was of the sons of the giant? Abishai has killed the giant. David has killed the giant. Shibekai has killed the giant. There was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where another man, El Anan, the son of Jaroregim, a Bethlehemite, he slew who? Hey, let the Bible talk to you now. He slew who? The staff of whose spear was like a weaver's rib. If Goliath is a giant, the brother of Goliath is what? Thank you. There was another battle in Gat again, where was a man of great stature, another giant. This time around, this one had on every hand 6 fingers, oral, and on every foot 6 toes, 4 and 20. And he was also born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, this time around again, not David, Jonathan, the son of Shema, the brother of David, did what? Slew him. Verse 22, finally, he said, these 4 were born to the giant in Gath. And they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. What is this teaching us? What God does for one, God can do for all. Ah! Many people did not get that. This is why we allow testimonies. What God does for one, God does not have a special child. That somebody is coming to testify, this is what happened to me, should lift up your faith. It was not only David that killed the giants. All of us, we like the story of David and Goliath. But in Israel, those days, when they are talking about the giants that David killed, they are also talking about the other giants that those men killed. Are you getting me? So when you see somebody prospering, don't start looking. This must be a special child of God. Yes, rejoice with them that rejoice. Admire. Even go close and see whether there's anything the person is doing. Maybe the person is praying for 2 hours and me, I'm praying for 10 minutes. Be like, I'll go change my formula. You understand? But whenever God visits somebody, it is evidence that God can visit you too. You heard testimonies this night. People testified of healing. People testified of breakthrough. Prophet Sidney, you got your own hero. God gave you hero this night. Me too, I will get my own. Whether you say amen or not, I believe the word of God. Are we together? So when you hear that God has visited somebody, when somebody comes to tell you that I was poor and my poverty was poorer than poverty, and I called upon God and he changed my condition. On Thursday, those of us that were here, you heard the testimony of our sister, Sister Marachi, how that she was she was exporter of akara and bread. She was hawking akara and bread. That was how poor she was. No surname. Eh? She was born into poverty and things were terrible for her. But today, her car, ML550. Not that we are glorying in materialism, no. When you see her telling you this testimony, she's trying to tell you what God can do. When you see somebody that has been barren for 20 years, and the person is always talking, my children. No, don't say the person is praising the children too much. When the person was weeping for 20 years, where were you? So sometimes you don't know why people rejoice. Today, God has turned her life around. Yes, she is. And she was singing a song that God takes a beggar and makes him a king. Now, there are different kinds of reactions to that testimony. Some people will thank God with you, Sister Marachi. They will rejoice with you and say, yes, like the way some people are coming to give offering. But there are some that say, hey, come on there. There are some that will be saying so. Some will be saying, this lady even like to show off. Are you that you are saying so? She's using messages. You are using legacies. So what you are not rejoicing with, how will it come to you? Are we together? You are supposed to say, Father, my testimony is similar to this woman. This is my condition also. If you can do it for this lady, I am also connected to you. Visit me. If God has brought down the giant of poverty for her, he can also do it for you. Are we together? If you are with me, shout fire. Thank you. If somebody is telling you I was sick, in this church we don't allow testimonies of HIV AIDS, but I can tell you, it goes. A sister that had cancer of the breast. Many people don't know her. She's healed of it. Stage 4 cancer of the breast. By the time after much prayers, when she went back to the hospital, no more tumor. Brothers and sisters, it was God that did it. A sister was pregnant pregnant for 7 years. Could not deliver. 7 years. But yes, she delivered. She dedicated her child at the 7th month. Before she delivered, 7 people died. All these true prayers. What is that telling us? If God can visit her, if God can visit him, God can visit you too. Late last year, my car started giving me faults. Late last year. Take it to mechanic. No, they could not discover what was wrong with it. So, I was not coming to church with car. Then we started empowerment hour in January. I was not coming to church with car. Either I'll use bike or beg the church bus to drop me by the way. One day, somebody called me, bought a new car and gave it to me. 2012 Highlander. See, it was not even in my prayer points. It was not even the only thing I did. Allow me to say this. Sister Marachi, you can confirm this. I used to put my hand on your car and claim it. Is that not true? I even gave you, thus says the Lord, manufactured by me, that God said you should give me your car. I was rejoicing with her. I did that thing in January. She's a witness, my wife's a witness. It was the same week that a Highlander Jeep was handed over to me. Why am I saying this? This is also to let you know that if God can do it for one, he can do it for all. So don't be jealous when somebody is testifying. let it give you faith that Jesus is in the neighborhood. And when Jesus is passing, if he visits this one, he will surely visit you too. If Jesus heals this one, he will surely heal you too. Brethren, this is how we bring down the giants. Somebody be on your feet. Be on your feet. Be on your feet. Be on your feet. Are you ready to bring down the giant of your life? Are you ready? If you are ready to bring down the giant, can